Leafs talk, JD Bunkus, Sam McKee. Leafs lose their third straight hockey game. A lackluster affair. Another low eventer from the Maple Leafs. The 30 shots that they ended up putting on net, brother. Has there ever been a faker stat? Like the home scorekeeper, I think, was giving them a few in that one. Brutal first couple of periods. They settle in the final frame. I've got a couple notes from this one, but honestly, I'll let you rip from wherever you want to start. Cause yeah, I was sitting there in the second period going, I don't know what we're going to say about this hockey game.
I think what the first thing I'll say is you can't play hockey for 12 minutes in an NHL hockey game and expect to win it.
Yeah.
I think they turned it on, and this has been a calling card of this era of Leafs hockey, regardless of who's behind the bench, that they can look like the best team in the world when they have to play with a little bit of urgency, but for some reason they can't play with that urgency until there's some sort of, I don't know, is like not turmoil. That's not the right word. Adversity, like whatever it is, they really seem to need some desperation in the scoreline to be able to play like they played for half of that third period. Like even until they got the goal, when did they get the goal? 13 minutes left in the third. I don't have
It was about halfway through the third period.
Yeah. So from that point on, they caved the Wild in, and they were a much better team. And I thought they were excellent for that portion.
I thought they were going to tie it
for sure. He scored that goal 8 minutes and 16 seconds into the third period. And after that, the Leafs were unbelievable. They carried the play. They were in the offensive zone for the whole rest of the game. But up until that point, it's just much of what I've seen from some of these games they've had this year where it's just malaise, buddy. It's just there's not a lot of feet moving. There's not a lot of urgency. There's not a lot of anything. It's just really, really unentertaining. Not entertaining, whatever the word or however
you
I'm butchering.
You had it to start.
I'm butchering the English, it sucks to watch. How's that sound? It's brutal. Yeah.
So I'd like to see the like player tracker data for the second period. Like when you're talking about feet not moving, I would like to see, you know how they do the soccer thing where they go, look at these guys, they actually run 100 kilometers a game when most of the time they're actually just walking around.
Yeah. A lot of strolling going on out there.
They're just having a little walk and then they sprint for a little bit. Everyone's like, they're running a marathon out there. Like, I've seen it. I know what's going on. But yeah, I think the tracking data would show us a second period where it might have been the least feet moving of any period of Leafs hockey this season. So, I would like to rant, but first can I do excuse talk and then something that's been a little bee in my bonnet?
I would love to hear both, brother.
Okay.
Have at it.
So here's excuse talk. Okay. They are missing guys. All right. Like, they're missing Knies and they're missing Tavares, and the bottom six just does not score. It provides them absolutely nothing. Although I will say that Nick Robertson, I thought, popped a little bit tonight. So good for him that he at least was threatening.
He's had a noticeable couple of weeks. Yeah, I'll give him credit.
Good for him. But ultimately, like, his primary function is to score goals, and I think he's still sitting on 8, right?
He just doesn't do it that often.
Yeah. So, anyway, the bottom six doesn't score, so I would imagine that there is an added level of fatigue for the star players when, like, they just can't take nights off, because whenever they do, it looks exactly like this, right?
Yep.
And on other teams that have better depth scoring, there is more likelihood of, hey, you know what? Your guys aren't going to have it every single night. And it won't be necessarily as noticeable because there's at least a chance that a third line or a second line can carry, 100%. Right? Okay, yep. So there's excuse on number one. Excuse number two, it's February, right? Like, it's not in quite, the middle.
Brother. January is long. We're still in January somehow.
I know. It's the end of January, early, whatever. We're still in January. Sure, you're right. But it's like the dog days of the season for, I think, everyone involved. Like, you heard, if you're watching the broadcast tonight, they go to Elliot and they're like, are you excited? And he's like, no. It's because I think everybody who follows this sport, the fans, the media, the players, around this time of year, it starts to settle in where you can get a little tired. And, you know, a regular on my show, Christopher Stieg, talks about this all the time, where it's like, if you look at his career, I think it's January or February, one of those 2 months, he just like scored 0 goals throughout his entire career. He had 1 month that he took off every single season, and it's either January or February. You can look it up if you're a fan of the show. It's like he craters in that month. So sure, Stars don't have it every night, and it's the dog days, and Toronto's dark and dreary and cold, and they live here, so they're probably going through some of the stuff too. All right, that's the end of excuse talk. Now it's time for, I don't want to hear anymore about, they need a break.
Oh, I need a break. They don't need a break. I need a break from watching these guys.
These guys, not you. I'm not saying you. I'm saying that the collective you saying they need a break has been pervasive to me in terms of like my life, my group chats, my friends, other media members, people who talk about them. Oh, they just need a break. They need a break. Oh God, they just need a break. Like that's what the off season is. Okay. They get a break. They're teachers. They work hard during the season. They will get some form of an all-star break, but you are highly, highly, highly compensated professionals. You know who needs a break? Farmers need a break. People who work in the mines need a break. I hate hearing about how professional athletes in their 20s and early 30s are so exhausted from having to play a kid's game that we should be giving them some type of reprieve when they show up and absolutely dog it in front of high-paying customers, don't move their legs because they need a break. Everyone understands that they're human beings. I hate human being talk, break talk, all this stuff. You're paid millions of dollars. That's what the money's for. Go out and play hockey. Your job is really, in the grand scheme of things, not all that hard. You are compensated very well. I don't want to hear about how you need a break. Sam McKee needs a break. Toronto Maple Leafs players, you do not need a break. End of rant.
Good. Well said. Very well said, buddy. Not a whole lot to add. I know that the human talk has been hot recently.
Oh,
human talk with Riley. Human talk. You know, he had a kid in the off season. I missed the part where he
Morgan
had
an Riley, Amish first athlete ever to have a kid. I guess.
I didn't know he had an Amish style family at home with no electricity. Like I don't know what. Like good lord, it's just I don't know what happened to that. It's I don't know. I completely agree with everything you said, so we can move past it.
Okay.
What's the next thing you want to talk about?
Well, I think it does fit in that the first goal of the game is like just a sleepy, tough play.
Yeah,
where Morgan Riley gets bodied behind the net and the puck goes in. And I keep hearing the stats guys tell me that Morgan Riley's plus minus doesn't matter. And then I see plays like this and I go, I don't know. I kind of think it does.
Yeah, it matters. When the other guys in your team that were playing together and when they're way up on the plus side and then you are by far way down on the minus side, it's telling. I've always said that the high, like, sure, around the medium, a median for the plus minus. If you're minus one or minus two or plus one or plus two, I don't really think it matters. And I'll have that argument. But if you're plus a lot, like people are like, oh, Nick Lindstrom, like, oh, he was plus 1,000 for his career. That matters. Like that's telling. And when you're dash 17 halfway through a season, when you're a team's number one paid defenseman, that's a problem. And these numbers just continue to grow. And This is the number one whipping boy now. I mean, some guy tweeted me tonight. He's like, you guys need to be more. I'm like, how much more can we say? How much more is there to say about what's happening with Morgan Riley? He's been really bad. Mm-hmm. And it's hanging over this team. And I don't know what else I can say about it. It's just they need to go to church every Sunday morning and pray that to the hockey gods that this figures out or that he turns it around. Because I don't know if he's going to. I'm really at the point now where I don't know if he's going to turn it around.
Yeah. It's getting harder and harder to envision. I got to say though, too, in his defense on this play, like, yeah, he gets out muscled and you'd like to see him play a little bit more physical there, of course. Right. But like, this is a situation where I will say like, he does have tough body position with it. Like it's a good play by the forward, just like boxing him out, getting the puck in front. Pontus Holmberg.
Yeah.
Brother, you got to wake up. Like, you're just puck watching there. You're the support player. I don't know exactly what he's doing on that play. I'm a little bit more offended by him on that goal than I am Morgan Riley.
For sure.
All right.
You're supposed to be a defensive conscious guy.
Yeah.
And everybody that's ever played hockey at any level, keep your stick on the ice when you're in a defensive position around the ice. And it's like, he's got it up near his waist. Puck goes right under where his stick should be. Like, and he misses it. It's in the back of your knife, in the back of your net. Bang, bang here. And you know, they don't have Tavares, so that's why Holmberg's elevated. And I think he's been better, and I think he's really trying. Like, you know, Berube was talking about it at practice this morning, being like, oh, I think there's more to give there offensively. I'm like, brother, I don't think there is. I know you're an NHL coach and you're with them every day. But Chief, I'm gonna have to disagree. I've watched it too much. There's not a whole lot there.
Well, I will say that
he makes the, and then I'm watching throughout this game, and I'm like, and then he makes the only really good offensive play in the game where he sets him up for. I'm like, oh, now I'm an idiot. I don't know.
Yeah, I will say this about Holmberg's game, like. I do think that he has taken a bit of a step recently offensively. I've noticed, and we've talked about this before, but that the zone entries for a team that has struggled to get them, he has been helpful with that. And I don't know how much of that is the attention that's being given to William Nylander on these plays, that he's able to break in a little bit more. I'd have to just like actually look over some of these plays with a little bit more fine detail to actually diagnose what it's been. I've liked some of the offensive progression, but I just know that when push comes to shove, he's not going to be a guy that's ripping pucks in the net or can get hot and ends up being somewhere like a even Yarncroc level, right? Where you can expect like the 16 to 18 goal type of season. I don't think that's on the table for him, but he did make a nice play to Nylander. But that brings me to the other topic of the game. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of the Leafs having to drive their own lines. I'm still just not really sure while William Nylander is the only guy on the team that is ever asked to do that. Like Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews lose Matthew Nyes, and automatically Bobby McMahon, who is like consistently been a good fit for William Nylander, jumps up to the top line. And they're like, yeah, we're just going to continue to pilfer from the William Nylander tree. And Nylander can be a frustrating player. Again, he didn't have a shot going into the third period. He was as guilty as anybody in this game.
I hit the post of the breakaway, so it doesn't count as a shot. But
right. He did get the breakaway. You're right. Yeah. He did have the breakaway. Of course. He has a breakaway every single night. Don't forget that he has a breakaway. But he scores the goal, and then he makes this spectacular pass later in the game. I think it was to Ekman-Larsson.
It was to Ekman-Larsson. Yeah, cross seam backhand sauce.
Gorgeous pass. And I was sitting there just thinking to myself, can he get a line mate? Can you just give him a chance to play with somebody with some regularity? Again, know the team is missing guys, but why is the strategy always just give him whatever dog's breakfast line mates and continue to pump the best remaining left winger, the best remaining winger on the team up with the two best guys? Like, I just don't understand it. In a position where you're needing some offense, maybe get a little bit creative. Why is it that you're not ever asking the other two guys to try and drive a line and it's always just the one dude and give them whatever hodgepodge of player? It's perplexing to me. William Nylander deserves better.
It's a Gree boys tonight, but you know, in our chat, Irv Blitzer said it's three straight games. It's only scoring one goal, but yes, let's keep Marner and Matthews together. And this is something I was hammering with you all game. This was the ultimate defibrillator game where wakey wakey here, fellas. I'm going to put Bobby McMahon with Matthews and Domi. I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to put Nylander and Holmberg and Marner or Kampf or what, like just change it up. Give it a different look. Take away some of the complacency that some of these guys have. And sure, did Matthews and Marner have okay shifts? Yeah, they're the only guys like you said off the top.
They're so Matthews and Marner and they're playing with the best winger on the team. I expect them to have some good shifts.
So much on them to score right now with the amount of passengers that are on this hockey team. I totally understand that. But spread it out. Mm-hmm. Try to turn some of your passengers into drivers here. Mm-hmm. It's just you're having the two guys that could do so much for the rest of your lineup just go up to the top and do their thing. I understand they're good together. I understand they're buds. I understand the inmates have run the asylum here for however many years. But Berube's got to know the beats of this team. That you need to break them up here and there to remind them. You need to break them up. Like, it's like you do this with everybody. All the stars are across the league have had this where they're together for a while. They even broke up the perfection line in Boston once in a while. Mm-hmm. It's just they've been together too long and they've tried it a couple times this year, barely. But when they've both been healthy, they've played mostly together. Mm-hmm. And tonight was a perfect opportunity just to take the defibrillator to it. Try to wake up this guy. Try to wake up the building. It's just, it's hard to watch them keep doing it.
I thought of something with the building. By the way, I'd like to say before this, like the Leafs fans have been taking a beating.
They're trying tonight. There's goalie scores. Yeah. It was a horrible game.
I agree. I think that they gave them a lift in the third period, right? There was nothing. I'm not criticizing anybody for the first two periods because the Leafs gave you nothing. But, you know, I thought of something thinking about the crowd and the team tonight with the second period. You know, people who look like their dogs.
Yes.
That's the Leafs in their crowd.
Yeah, it's good. I like that.
Like, I like that. That's the Leafs in their crowd where it's like sleepy basset hound, sleepy looking guy, like sleepy product, sleepy crowd. They look the exact same.
Well, me and Lou Dog have the same boiler right now. So we're like,
you and Lou Dog. I got to go away for a hot little wedding in a couple of weeks. So I'm trying to keep the belly down. I'm going to already be the pasty guy on the beach. I can't have the boiler
hit
too.
The bed before. Just hit the tanner. Go. You got to go get a base. Hit the bed.
So I thought about it. Yeah. I actually looked into it. I looked into trying to get the base. Somebody told me that there's no science to support it. And I say, no way.
Like, disagree. Whatever, science, wrong.
Yeah, like wrong. No way. I know they're horrifically unhealthy for you, but like, ow,
just one will never won't hurt you.
Yeah, a couple won't hurt. But I looked into it. The thing is like they don't exist anymore. I got to go to like a strip mall in Brampton.
Fab Utan doesn't want to sponsor the pod. Like,
I think that the beating they took from a PR standpoint and from spray tans have basically eliminated the tanning bed industry. So
a strip mall in Brampton. I'm going to name my punk album that.
Yeah. I just think it's a tough dig right now to get around. It's like, am I really going to, you know, get out of the city limits for the tan, or I'm just going to eat the sunburn day one? I don't know.
Anyways, awesome. We somehow got the tanning off of your awesome comparison, but they do look like they're dog. The crowd, like, it's just like the crowd's sleepy and tired, and it's like a sleepy and tired guy.
Yeah.
It's such a great reflection. I saw what Instagram account was it that put out like, this is what the crowd used to be like at Scotiabank Arena. And it was the goal, like Sundin ties game six conference finals.
Yeah, I was going to say conference final.
I was like, well, like, I mean, it might be like that now if that happened. It's like, it's like literally one of the biggest goals in franchise history.
I had a bunch of people send me that and I was like, yeah.
I would hope they're loud for that.
Yeah, like, sure. It was literally the biggest moment of my childhood.
Yeah, the dying seconds of the game six of the conference final, they tie it.
Anyways. No, I agree. I thought that was a little bit of a false equivalency, but I think a lot of the crowd talk has been a bit of a tough one. But anyways, it doesn't matter because they're not playing there ever again.
No, they're on the road now, which is good. I think it's
no,
good.
But it's like, have you seen? Hold on.
They're all road. They're on the road. They're the road warriors from now on.
But hold on a second here. I actually have it written down. I wrote it in my show doc for tomorrow's pod. I'll steal it for right now. So from today until just guess. How many home games do they have between now and March 13th?
I think one. Borny was talking about it today on the show.
From today until March 13th, the Leafs have two home games.
Okay. Wow.
Boy, oh boy.
Well, I mean, good luck.
Yeah.
Good thing you banked some points here. And you have Stolarz
who are paying customers tonight are like, that's fine.
Yeah, thank God.
That's okay. We're all right with that.
Thank God I don't have to watch any more of that. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I love this Western road trip. I think these games rock. Like Saturday night in Edmonton's amazing. I think sneaky great in Calgary too. The contrasting colors in Calgary and it's a great jersey battle. I feel like the building's always popping there. Squids not so much. I mean, Squids on a Thursday night, that's not exactly a marquee matchup. Squids,
people get to see how washed up Yanni Gourde is before the Leafs acquire
him. And then Saturday night in Vancouver, like it's a good fun road trip here. Then the break, and then they come back on the road a little bit. So we'll see. But yeah, they haven't been great away from home either. I think they're like 11-8-2 on the road. Like they've kind of been pretty shaky on the road. So it'll be interesting to see what they have. But yeah, the thankfully, the patrons at Scotiabank Arena will have a little bit of a break.
Again, they need the break. The Leafs don't need the break. Yes. Leafs didn't play since Saturday, and it's like break talk. I'm like, they literally just had a break. That was the break. Those 3 days they just had was a nice little break, but whatever. Anyways, I don't have anything else from this game. Oh, actually, I have one little minor rapid-fire thing, which is not really sure what Auston Matthews is doing. Buddy, you're not trying to score. Why are you tipping the puck on your own goalie?
Reflex, tired brain makes you do dumb things. And he's like, but I'm going to block this. I know, but you're out there. You're just like, I'm going to stop this. I'm the best. I got the best hand eye in the world. I'm Auston Matthews. I'm going to stop this. And he just like tipped it right into his own net. It was a beautiful tip. Like,
yeah, I just, tip. I'll tell you right
when's
now.
When's the last time you did that on the other net?
Yeah, good point.
Get to the middle of the ice at the other end.
Buddy, I'll tell you right now, Joe Woll will never say it. ultimate sweetheart of a guy, right? You saw him singing on that stage for some band I've never heard of before.
Well, I saw the first 1 second of the clip. I couldn't get through the rest, but I saw.
Yeah, but like, do you know who that artist is?
Kiro? No, I'm going to sound like the oldest.
Ego? I'd never heard of them. Yeah, it was very, I felt very old where I was like, wait, these are like a sing-along song band? Holy crap. I'm out. I got no idea who you are. But internally, there's nothing that would piss you off more than that.
Yep. You'd be really mad. 100%. Yeah. The other thing I'll say, I thought Gustafson was pretty good in the third. When they turned it up, I thought he made some pretty solid saves. And he's going to be the starter for Sweden now that Markstrom's hurt. And Allmark's kind of been banged up. They just called up Arison. So he's a good goalie. And that was a great trade by the Sens. Really good stuff there. They traded him for Cam Talbot, I believe. Oopsies.
Sens, like, they seem to have it a little figured out now.
Yeah.
Like,
they made some rotten ones there.
Yeah, but it just felt like year after year of just butcher jobs by them. Like, a guy's good, they acquire the good guy, then he sucks for you, then anybody that leaves is good somewhere else. Like, that was the Senators' pattern. But anyway, we're off on Saturday night. We're at a wedding, so we won't be doing Leafs Oilers, so subscribe to our other podcast where, we'll be covering some of the stuff for Monday, because I'll probably, there's no football on Sunday, so I'll probably watch the recorded version of it while I'm sitting on the couch completely hungover from what is going to be a banger.
I'm not going to have a drop at Vic's wedding, but you know me, I'm a good boy.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll be locked into the game on Sunday morning, just bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, watching the reruns. Yeah. I mean, I might, you know those little stands? I might just bring a little stand for the table and I'll get the Leaf game going. Vic wouldn't be offended. He'd be thrilled if I did that.
Yeah.
His wife might not be. Amanda might be a little sour.
Yeah, his wife probably not so much. I will admit that.
I'll have an earbud in, like I'm like a Colombian guy watching a soccer game. I'll have one earbud in.
Right before the season before we did Leafs Talk, I was at a wedding for a Leafs playoff game, and I was doing that at the table, like during the speeches, like had it under for the Bruins playoff game. I actually did a Kipper and Bourne hit beforehand.
Really?
I called into your guys' show, did a hit from like the streets. And then went into the wedding and then, watched the game at my table. And I was like the guy with the phone where people were like, are you? Yeah. I was like, yeah, I got Rogers Ignite. That's
the problem, though. Like, you can't bring because then the boys start flocking around and then you're the bad guy. So
but that's what I mean. I just don't think you can do it for a regular season game. Yeah, I just think that's a faux pas. Like, playoff game, everybody's in. Everyone understands. Sorry, but your wedding is now less important.
And it's now a playoff game watch party is what you're
wedding. Well, the thing is, it's like if you have a wedding during a playoff game, then you become like the talk of, oh, can you believe your wedding's on it? Yeah. You just have to embrace. You just have to embrace and make it a part of it. Otherwise, people are going to be sneaking off and trying to get it somewhere. Like, it's just going to happen. Like, it's going to happen. You just got to submit and allow it to happen. Anyway, so we're off. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JD Bunkus, at Sam A. McKee.
JD on the beach.
Probably. I wish I'd kill for that color.
I'm not a friends guy, but what a touch.
I was like, show dug that one up. Big friends guy. Knew the reference, knew the
pull. I guarantee show is big friends guy.
I think my friends take quickly, since this is a shorter Leafs talk, is that it gets hated on too much. Like it's not in, to me, the pantheon of like the all-time great shows, but the first like three or four seasons, basically before Monica and Chandler dated, were elite. Those were elite seasons, but it ran for like 18 years and most of them are bad. But
everybody was like super tanned at the end. That's all I remember. Like the last season, everyone was like looking like you on the beach.
Yeah. I just think people, it's like it's a soft target for people to launch into, but like you can't tell me that you didn't watch those first three seasons and didn't think they were good. They were early Chandler.
It was like the most popular show on TV for a really long time.
Exactly. It's just a soft target. It's easy to hate on. So stop hating on. Don't be so basic. It's like the pineapple of pizza or pineapple on pizza debate of TV shows. Yeah. All right. We're back on
Tuesday against the Flames, 9 o'clock.
Yeah. I'm doing that one.
You're doing that one?
Yeah, I'm doing that one. That's not too late, free boy. I'll do a 9 o'clock.
Then you're skipping squids on Thursday. I'll do that one with Ailish or something.
Correct. I do a 9 a.m. show. I'm not staying up to watch the sharks and squids on this road trip. So get ready to learn Ailish for those shows.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We'll see you on Monday or Tuesday.